Welcome back to the Warriors HQ podcast. Dieter Kurtenbach joined by Logan Murdoch after the Warriors lose 108-103 to the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake City. Logan, after the malaise wore off, what was your initial takeaway on Wednesday's contest?
I don't think the Warriors played bad. I do think that the Warriors, they missed a lot of shots, but as far as an effort level, it was a game where they I felt like they were into it. It wasn't one of those things where they where, you know, we've seen a lot of times where they were not into it and then they just try to go at the last minute. I think this was a game where they were into, they couldn't make shots.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I think they just didn't make shots. Now, that said, I didn't really see a lot of offensive acumen being put on display by the Warriors on Wednesday night, if we're being totally honest. But it's a make-or-miss league. And you look at Jonas Jerebko, he was 2-for-7 from the floor. You look at Kevin Durant going 2-for-7 from beyond the arc. Klay 0-for-4, 3-for-12. Like, make-or-miss league, and the Utah Jazz make a lot of teams miss a lot of shots. I also thought it was a really physical game. I thought the Jazz got away with some stuff that most other teams don't get away with, like two arm pushes, like off the ball a lot. But that's the home court advantage that they have. And that's, you know, the style of basketball that the Jazz always play. You have to know that going in. The Warriors, I didn't think were fazed by it at all. That said, I thought Rudy Gobert impacted the game to a pretty immense level. There was a lot of missed layups and just shots that were deflected without even, you know, being contacted by Rudy Gobert. Just his presence really affected a lot of what the Warriors were doing underneath the hoop. And that might have been the difference in the game as well. I'd love to see a playoff series between these two teams. I'm sure it'd be really interesting. It might not be the most aesthetically pleasing, but for a basketball...
That's your favorite kind of basketball, though.
Yeah, no. You know I like to get up and down. Like, I'm still rooting for that Sacramento series, but...
Yes.
When you see a series where you have Rudy Gobert and Draymond Green on the floor at the same time, like, I can get behind that.
But what do you make of the Jazz making so many threes against the Warriors? Just the Warriors, so they're not
They're not a good 3-point shooting team, except when they play Golden State.
Exactly. And then you see Donovan Mitchell, who is, I don't know what is going on. He went he put up Logan Murdoch numbers tonight, 5 of 26. It was a very ugly game. And one of the Warriors could have won. But the biggest thing that I see is just Klay Thompson. I know I've been the Klay Thompson apologist whenever we do these podcasts. But I'm thinking, like, man, you know, what is going on? He is shooting a career low 35% from 3-point range. What do you think it is about that? I know that Steve Kerr after the game said it's a lack of ball movement and he's not giving the shots, but do you think it's more to it than that?
No, I think Steve's right that it probably is predicated on a lack of ball movement. Let's also take into account that 34% includes the NBA record for 3-pointers made in a single game against the Chicago Bulls. Like, you take that out, I'm sure it's around like 31-32%, which is astounding when you consider who we're talking about here. This is Klay Thompson. He's arguably the second greatest shooter of all time, and he's shooting this poorly from beyond the arc. He's taking a lot of mid-range stuff. I feel like he's forcing it a lot. I mean, he just doesn't seem comfortable out there. And he doesn't seem like he sort of fits in. And this might be just sort of he's the collateral damage in the fairly consistent push and pull that happens between sort of the Kevin Durant style offense that slow it down, let KD post up, run it, you know, basically give him an ISO on one side of the court, and the Steph Curry motion heavy. And it's going to maybe take a little bit more to get that motion really back ingrained with everybody, because when Steph was out for nearly a month, I mean, they just pounded the rock to Durant, and Klay had to sort of find his gaps from there, but the ball wasn't moving as much. You just didn't have a point guard there who commanded as much attention as a guy like Steph Curry does. I'd be interested to see if the big three are together, if Draymond's still out there, if the Warriors are healthy between now and when Boogie Cousins comes back. I'd be interested to see if maybe Klay starts figuring it out a little bit more, or looks more comfortable out there, and the numbers start to tick up. That would be a positive sign for me. But I don't even know when you could say that should start. Obviously, a game against Utah, you don't want to put too much credence into it. They're a great defensive team. They have a lot of length and a lot of strength, and that's going to be tough for any guy who's sort of a tertiary option to get his shot off. But, man, there's there's something brewing. And I know no one ever wants to worry about Klay because Klay is unflappable and steady and just lives life to the fullest at all times. But this ain't right.
No, it's not. And you can say what you want. It's definitely alarming. You know, and I think even just to say this now, but what do you think about this? And I know I talked about this on the last game. On the last game, we were talking about runs, and this was a big reason. I didn't really want to get into where this is a run, but
yeah.
Where do you think the Warriors are at right now? I don't think it's time to panic by no means. It was like I said, it was a grinded out game where, you know, they just couldn't make shots. I don't think it was a lack of effort, but where do you see the Warriors right now after this game?
Yeah, I don't think I see them in any different light. I mean, they played fairly hard. Shots didn't fall. I thought they got open looks. Have they played better? Absolutely. But like, I don't know. I'm still concerned on how I'm going to forge 1,000 words on this thing, because how do you put too much credence into a Wednesday night game on December 19th? Like, the Warriors are fine. Now, that said, you know, if you want to extrapolate it out, if you're looking for reasons to be concerned, they're giving them to you. And they've done nothing to assuage my fears that the gap between them and the other good teams in the NBA, who I think reside probably in the Eastern Conference more so than anywhere else, that gap hasn't tightened a little bit. Now, there's always going to be this sort of laissez-faire attitude that the Warriors are going to give because they've been through this before. They're not trying their hardest. They're certainly not going all out every night. I mean, I don't think we'll see them go all out once this entire regular season. And the threat of Boogie coming back is sort of this trump card that they're going to eventually play. And we don't know one way or another what happens when Boogie comes back, but just sort of that looming out there sort of gives this clearance to not really give that much of a damn. Where are you at? I know that you were sort of pumping the brakes after that nice win against Memphis, and you were probably listening back to that pod and thinking about what you were saying there. I think you were probably the voice of reason, because we were saying like, okay, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the start of it, because they looked really Warriors-like. They looked like the old Warriors. But I think you were right. I mean, it comes down to engagement, and there's going to be some luck involved. But where do you fall after this Utah game? Do you want to pump your chest out at all?
Not really. No, I think that honestly, if we're looking at the rest of the standings, they're right in line with some of the top teams, even in the Eastern Conference. I mean, they have a win. They didn't beat Toronto this series, but they did split with Milwaukee. We'll see what happens with Philadelphia, but their records are in line with those teams. It's not like, you know, anyone is running away with the league right now. I think that they're in a prime position playing 50% of what they can be.
Right? But that's, you know, the thing, I mean, like, that you say, you know, they're in line with everybody else in the league. That's not what the Warriors are supposed to be doing. I mean, this is a team with four All-Stars, four Hall of Famers, maybe five Hall of Famers, and then you add in a Boogie, so now you got, you know, it just keeps adding up. But they have certainly not played to expectations, even if those expectations were always going to be too high. And you got to agree with me on this. It doesn't look consistent on a day-to-day basis, and sometimes it looks downright disjointed.
Oh, it does. It does. It doesn't look like even I don't know if you could say they probably played one complete game.
What game was that? Was that the Milwaukee game?
That's the closest thing that I would say to a complete game that they played. I mean, even that Memphis game where we thought they were up. I forgot. They were up
25. It was a pretty comprehensive 25. Win. Yeah. But it's Memphis, but, too. I mean, and that game, styles make fights, and that one was always going to, if the Warriors won that game, it was always going to make them look better just because they were playing against a slower team. And so it was more aesthetically pleasing. They were getting up and down more.
I think to your point, I think they just it comes down to trying. I think we're only going to see them try probably on Christmas Day, and then they're going to play 70% of what they're going to play for the rest of the year until the playoffs comes. That is concerning, but I don't know if you can look them in the eye and just be like, guys, we got to play hard tonight, and they're going to listen, because I mean, the fact is they've done this before, and they're like, we did this all last year, and we turned it on at the last second. We won. We're good.
I keep bringing this up, but think about, like you say, oh, they turned it on at the last second. No, you mean that in the almost literal sense. I mean, these dudes, they're almost like adrenaline junkies. They need to face fear in order to get a rise anymore. And that's concerning because, again, you know, they might not be as lucky as they were last year. This is a team that took it to game six and was down double digits in game six against the Houston Rockets. And they had to claw back in that one. And that game went down to the wire. And then they got Chris Paul, who pulled his hamstring. And I'm not really sure how much of an effect that has. But certainly a Rockets team with Chris Paul is better than a Rockets team without Chris Paul. He doesn't play in game seven. They missed 27 consecutive three-pointers. And the Warriors pull that one out because James Harden bricks the Rockets into existence. Like, I mean, I don't think it's going to be the Rockets again, but like, damn, like, that was pretty damn lucky.
I mean, if we're going to go back to it, I mean, I think their whole run has been centered around luck, right? I mean,
slow down here, Nick Wright. Come on.
Well, I mean, that's just the fact of every championship team has a little bit of
agreed,
luck going
agreed
into
on
it.
That. Agreed on that.
And if you look back at it, their first title run, they're, you know, they,
yeah, Kyrie they goes get, down. Yeah.
Kyrie goes down. They're down, you know, they're down 2-1 against Memphis. I mean, And then, you know, the second time around, they come back from a 3-1 series, and any other year they'd probably lose against Oklahoma City, and then they do lose in the finals. You know, there's a lot of luck involved, and they've kind of won. They've gotten the titles. They've gotten some titles just by some, not all of it.
Listen, luck is always
on their side. If you're going to be a dynasty, there is going to be luck on your side. And I think that, you know, the Warriors sometimes have one on the seat of their pants. So I think that, you know, this is kind of par for the course.
And that's my concern, because again, it just seems as if they're not as invincible as they once were, even when they turned it on in that Milwaukee game. Like, yeah, it was good, but that was a pretty decent game. Like, it wasn't like, you know, them blowing them out of the water. It didn't seem like they were ruining the league at all when they were playing that game. And that was their best performance of the year. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you could possibly motivate them to your point. Like, what's Steve Kerr supposed to say here? Which is why maybe they need to start focusing a little bit more on the smaller things, like getting Klay Thompson going. And that could be, you know, the one thing that they spend the next couple of weeks on, like, let's just get Klay going. Let's get Klay back to where he should be, because something isn't right there. And everyone else will just sort of fall in along those lines. We did the same sort of thing last year where they weren't really sure if they should give Steph the ball this many times or Durant the ball this many times. And the correct answer, anytime that you're trying to figure out if you should be more Steph dominant or Durant dominant, is just be Klay dominant for a while. And everything will sort of fall into place because he gets along with everybody.
That's true. That's true, man. That was very touching. But I think that, you know, it's going to take some time to get this rolling. And honestly, they're still, and even it comes down to the coaching staff, as far as Steve Kerr has even said, like, you know, we did this last year, and when the playoffs came, our defense, we shut down everyone in our defensively. I mean, they know it's hard. Like I said, it's hard to get a focus on what they're doing. But, you know, I did see some good things in this game. I did see some things.
Okay, what stood out to you in a positive realm? I got some good things too. I want to see if ours line up.
Your guy Alphonso McKinney, man.
Man, he was good. He was good. He only played 12 minutes, but he was a plus 15.
A plus 15 was got a crucial O board. I mean,
yeah.
If McKinney can play like that and Jarebko can play how he's been playing other than this game, how he's been playing all season, this bench is pretty good. I mean, this bench is serviceable. And absolutely, it's something that they can hang their hat on. And it was also another thing that stood out was I saw Andre Iguodala and I almost got too excited tonight.
What do you mean?
I saw him doing really good in the beginning, and I was like, oh, man, okay, here he goes. Here comes Sean Lynch.
One of those games.
And it didn't work out. But I think a positive was McKinney, and if McKinney can kind of get that magic and now score the way he did before he got injured,
right?
I really see some good things coming on this bench.
Well, he's going to be a solid defensive player. He might not be the soundest guy, but he's always going to bring good energy. He's an outstanding rebounder for his size, and he'll fire the three if you give it to him. I'm a little bit stunned that he didn't play more in this game, considering, you know, Jonas's struggles. They like having Jonas out there because they leave him open for a three. It didn't fall tonight. He missed every shot that wasn't a three that he took. He was a minus 14 in the game. you know,
did I see a outstanding Jordan Bell tweet from you today?
Yeah, I thought he was actually really good in that first stretch when they played him. They played Draymond Green at center for like 25 minutes against the Utah Jazz, and that makes a lot of sense because Looney was playing fine, but Looney doesn't exploit the talent mismatch that the Warriors have for the Jazz because he can't pull Rudy Gobert out of the paint. And when you have a non-shooter out there, which I guess you could argue Draymond Green's a non-shooter too at this juncture.
Well, he said he's not going to be. Keep leaving him open. He's going to be good. So
right. I mean, and you know what? It is what it is. Maybe it will start coming, but you know, he's got to take the backpack off first. Nevertheless.
Wow.
What do you want me to tell you, man? He looks like me out there. Now, he can also, you know, dribble it and make a play, which is something that Kevon Looney can't do. But right now, I'd put their chances of making a three at around the same level. It's one of those things where Bell had to play good in that game because of just the matchup. You want to pull Rudy Gobert out of the low post and make him really work for it. And that's what they did when they played in the playoffs a couple of years back. That's what they needed to do. And I thought they did a pretty decent job with it. But Jordan Bell, 8 minutes, he was a -5. He missed both of his shots, a couple of boards. I thought it was a solid first go around, second go around, not as solid. Look, I'm curious about something here. This next stretch coming up, you got Doncic, you got a Clippers team that the Warriors always like to give the business to a little bit. And then you got this Christmas game that hopefully the Warriors are looking forward to it, because I know everybody else in the NBA has been looking forward to
it. I know you're looking forward to that.
I mean, it's one of those games. It's the one game that you can circle and go, well, if they're going to get up for anything, they're going to get up for this, which is sort of the only thing that can get you out of bed these days. Like, maybe they'll try today. Maybe today's different. What do you think about this weekend? Back-to-back at home, Christmas Day, the Lakers. I was watching something today, I think it was ESPN, where it's like, what do you want for Christmas? They were asking all the Lakers, and they're like, we want to beat the Warriors. And it's just like, man, how times have changed. But I don't know, this next three-game stretch at home, this is why we last time we talked, it's like, hey, this might be a chance to get something rolling. Did you see enough over the last two games, three games, whatever you want to call it, whatever span you want to go to, that gives you confidence that they can get a little bit of something rolling here?
I think they drop one of those. Maybe it's the Dallas game because they're, you know, just caught slipping, or the Clipper game because they're caught slipping. But right. I do think that they win this Christmas game just because they know when the moment is there. At least I think they do. And I know that they want to beat the Lakers just because it's LeBron and everything that comes with that. But I do see them struggling at some point because, let's be honest, they have not been the model of consistency.
Anything but.
And I think that, you know, that especially, it's weird how they have this back-to-back. They have a weird three games in four nights.
Right.
At home. And it's a very weird time in the schedule. But I do think they drop one. But I do think that they do win that Christmas game. What do you think?
They got 4-6 at home. They got Mavericks.
So weird.
Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, all home. Mavericks, Clippers, Lakers, Blazers, and then they go to Portland. They got a back-to-back, two-city back-to-back. Yeah, it's a weird stretch of the schedule. It's weird, but this is the time to sort of exert yourself, right? This is the time to sort of show everybody, hey, we're not slipping. We're still the team to beat, because the longer you keep up this sort of inconsistency, for whatever it's worth, right? Because again, so much of it derives just from the fact that they can't be bothered to go all the way. And nor should they, all things considered, knowing the amount of wear and tear that their bodies and their minds have taken over the last 4 years, going to the finals for the last 4 years. That's a lot of extra basketball. It's a lot of extra stress. I can't imagine they're going to give a damn about the New Year's Eve game in Phoenix. Like,
yeah.
But now's the time. You get a stretch here of four games at home. Rattle them off. Just go, and then you can take your foot off the gas a little bit there. You can slide in. But you have to reassert yourself a little bit. They started off 10-1, and they have not looked like that team since. I'd just like to see even just a glimpse, just to remind me, like, hey, it's here. We can go back to it whenever we want. We just don't choose to.
Is there any indication that you've seen this season, not in past seasons or their pedigree, that they are primed for a run? Is there any indication that you've seen over the last?
Well, I guess my question to you is, what do you constitute as a run?
Template. them playing good basketball.
You got to get the wins. You know, they play decent basketball against the Jazz.
Yeah.
Like, they don't play bad. I mean, there's been some bad blowouts, to be fair, this season, which is abnormal and skews the perception of maybe what it is that's going on. They're not playing well against good teams in general. You know, if not for that Bucks game, we'd probably be in some sort of a panic mode right now. How about a 5-game winning streak? Is that too much to ask these days?
We almost had it, and then Toronto happened.
Yeah,
again,
and that was an ass kicking.
That was an ass kicking. I you know, it's crazy. We're talking about this, and I'm looking, and they what is this? It's 6 of 8. They've still won 6 of 8. So I guess you can concentrate they're in a run right now. But
oof. But you know, I mean, two of those wins came against the Hawks and the Cavs. I'm not sure that counts.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say that the Hawks arena has a barbershop, whatever that's worth. But
anything to get people to come.
Anything, but I mean, they just I don't know, and I don't know if I've seen anything that constitutes that they're ready to do it. They're ready to, you know, make that Warriors to stack up the wins right now. But you know, yeah. I guess that's something we'll see. Especially that home back to back is brutal, man. Like,
would you rather have a non home back to back?
It's just a weird thing. It's just a quirky thing in the schedule that I've seen. It's just that.
Yeah, I can't recall one, to be totally honest. Back to back 5:30 games. What a weird. What
very weird. Very, very weird. But
it's coming up on my Sunday night football time.
Darn them, Dieter. Darn them. Darn the schedule makers.
And for a game as marquee as Warriors Clippers, I mean, how dare they?
How dare they? But I mean,
they got a game against the Nuggets on the 15th. That's a game I'm interested in watching. They got a game.
I thought you didn't like Swaggy P.
No, I. That's fair, but there's a lot of other guys on the team I do like. Here's something that might shock you here. They have a swaggy center in Nikola Jokic that is I'm a big fan of his.
He's pretty good.
And I like both of those interchangeable small guards they got in Denver. They got a good team, and Paul Millsap's one of my favorites. Like I've come around on him. I wasn't sure on the Nuggets there for a long time. I thought that was maybe just an early season surge, good energy, new defensive scheme that kind of got everyone to buy in. I don't know, man. Like they're a legit contender for not just home court advantage, but maybe for home court advantage throughout the Western Conference playoffs if the Warriors keep playing like this.
I do have a question before we get out of here. They have a January 3rd matchup against Houston.
Yeah.
Houston's coming around. Do you think it's legit that they could come back and we can, you know, kind of get something going with that team as we progress through the season? Do you see that coming by the time we see them January 3rd?
I mean, what? They moved from 14th or 13th to like 6th. In a matter of a week, they made 26 3-pointers on Wednesday night, setting an NBA record. Like, there's nothing that's out of the Rockets' grasp. I mean, the Western Conference is just a war zone. That said, I really hate their defense. I think it is atrocious, and James Harden is sort of just having to rotely carry his team through this thing. I think that it's going to be a game. I think that's one that the Warriors should have circled, given the way that the Rockets just spanked them last time the two teams played. Rockets might be riding high. That's a good opportunity for the Warriors to bring them down or put them back to the level that they were at, you know, the last time the two teams met.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. Honestly, it's a game against Utah on a Wednesday in December. I mean, I think the Warriors will end up being okay.
Yeah, I would hope so. Yeah, the Jazz definitely needed it more than the Warriors, and Kevin Durant almost made it a thing.
Definitely. And well, I guess we will hear you guys on what, Christmas Day? Is that the next time we're here? Where are we here, dude?
Man, you know, I'm around Saturday. I got NFL on Sunday, but Christmas Day, man, 5:00, Oracle Arena. We're definitely gonna have more than a thing. More than a column, more than a video. Definitely have a pod after that one. That's the one and only. You can check in for the entire season and be like, hey, man, these Warriors, why are they in third place? We'll find out. We'll find out exactly why or why not on Christmas Day, 5 p.m.
All right, man. And you can listen. You can listen in. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud. I think we're on Spotify now. We're really
get the hell out of here.
No, we're on Spotify. I do the newsletter. They say follow us on Spotify. I saw it.
I thought they were just following your playlists.
They should. Actually, I will be dropping a playlist. I've dropped Turnt Christmas is what it's called. I will send you the Spotify link.
I will legit subscribe to that.
It's called Turnt Christmas. We got some Marvin Gaye there. Meantime, just subscribe to us on Mercury News. See, we have all our stuff there. Read Dieter's work. Read my newsletter that comes to your inbox every day. And, you know, that's what it is, man. Tap in.
Talk to y'all later.
All right. Peace.